there's a lot of information out there with regards to COVID-19 and the novel coronavirus. What are the symptoms that people should be looking out for, and when should they call the health unit?
Okay, well, there's a few things that we need to put in perspective. The first of all, this is a unpleasant, for most people, kind of nasty winter crud. And the main things that people should be looking for who have been in contact or in a situation in which they may have been in a higher risk area are fever and cough. These are the main symptoms, so we're not talking about sniffles here or runny nose, that kind of thing. We're talking about people who are actually feeling quite unwell, and fever is a hallmark of it. There are also other reasons why people may have fever at this point in time, because there are other viruses that are also circulating. And so it's not just fever and cough. It's fever and cough with another reason to think that one may have been exposed. And then we'd be pleased to help you go through the assessment where you've been, what risks may be there, so that the people who need to be tested can be tested, and those who can be reassured need not be tested and can be reassured.
Something else that a lot of people are doing is they're going out and panic buying everything they can find, from especially toilet paper to hand sanitizer to whatever else they can get their hands on. Self-isolation is a method that is being used to try and contain the spread and to stop the spread as much as possible. What should you have and what don't you need if you do need to go out and buy supplies in case?
Sure. Well, I think what we are calling this is not so much self-isolation. That's what people who are ill do. They isolate themselves. That's the technical terminology. This is what we call social distancing. It's not going to places with large crowds. It's keeping away from events where there may be a large number of people showing up and so on. And I think that's good advice at this point. I think that in terms of preparation, we need to always be thinking about preparation for events that may make us have to be self-sufficient for at least several days at a time. And so for any emergency preparedness, whether it be an electrical blackout or whether it be an ice storm or anything like that, it's always good to have 3 or 4 days of supplies at least ready, so that you, if you don't want to or are unable to go out, that you've got the things that you need to eat and so on. The important things to have in the house are, number one, food that won't spoil, so canned foods or dry foods, and that sort of thing. Second of all, things that you may need for communications. We recommend batteries and so on. Any medications that people need on an ongoing basis, don't run out. Make sure you've got sufficient supplies of those and so on. As far as things like toilet paper are concerned, that's been an anomaly of this situation, because early on, China, which was a supplier of toilet paper, was not able to produce it. So I think that's the only reason, as I have heard, that people are panicking about toilet paper. But clearly, the things you need to survive, like, and water. Having a couple of liters of water per day per person is strongly advised for people to have at all times, along with flashlights, radio type of with batteries, so that in case something happens, you can always be in touch.
So basically, if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, you shouldn't be buying anything that you shouldn't already have in terms of being prepared to spend time away and isolated and distanced from society.
I think that's fair enough to say, except that most people have not bought what they need to be prepared for, I'm going to call it, any urgent situation. And so therefore, I think that going along with the recommendations of the federal and provincial health people to say you need to have a few days' supplies, so that if you are unable to go out or don't want to go out, you are not going to be left high and dry with nothing to eat or any other essentials that you may have. It's just, think about it in terms of, if I had to stay in my home for several days, what would I need? I should keep that on hand at all times, and especially at this point in time, because things are changing rapidly. There's no evidence of community transmission in the Northwest, But this can change in a matter of a few days or a couple of weeks' time, and we may be in a quite a different situation a couple of weeks from now. It's really very difficult to predict at this point.
Now, there's one confirmed case of somebody in the Northwest region who has COVID-19, and that's in Fort Frances. Is there any reason that people here in Kenora should be worried or that it's going to impact anyone here at all?
Absolutely not. And here's the reason. We are certain, because of the incubation period, that this infection was acquired while abroad. So there's no local point in transmission where this has been acquired by anybody. We're not aware of any community transmission. And in the follow-up of this case, we have been in touch with the individual and have very well documented activities during the period of time when he may have been infectious. And all of those people are being contacted to make sure that they stay in quarantine. That means they're not sick, but they stay separated from other people until such time as we are able to say you've been through in a couple incubation periods, and we know that now, even though there may have been an exposure, you're no longer at risk. Or if they become a case, then they go into self-isolation for the period of time that's required.
What the health unit is doing to, if they are regularly monitoring this case, and how that's, like, just general how that's happening.
Oh, sure. We're touching base, chatting each day, making sure that person involved is compliant with the recommendations, which we're very satisfied is the case. We are following up all of the activities so we know who may have been exposed, and those people are all being notified and asked to be in self-quarantine. Not that it's a dangerous situation, it's just that they should be separated from people until we know, having had a true exposure potentially, that they do not become cases. So once the incubation period is over, then we will be able to say to those folks, you were lucky, you may have been exposed, but you didn't become infected. There may be a few, I don't know what will happen with this, that some, there may be some more cases, but those cases are already separated, and we would ask them to be in isolation for the required period of time. So no, I don't see any risk at this point in time for anybody in this in the community other than the people who are being quarantined, and even for them I'm going to characterize it as pretty low risk, but nevertheless we're doing this to be quite precautionary.
And there's two more questions that he had. One is that has to do with testing kits, asking what the supply is for the Northwest region. He said one person has claimed that she was denied testing because she wasn't anywhere overseas, and that was suggesting testing was limited to those people.
Okay, well, this is a very important point, and I mentioned earlier. There is a not short supply, but there's we need to be careful with the test kits that we have, and they need to be reserved for people who have truly have a likelihood of being infected. So people who have not left the region at all are not at risk because we have not established any sustained community transmission. And so therefore, if these people have developed symptoms of fever and cough, it's almost certainly for a different reason, and we can all say with a great deal of certainty that it is not coronavirus that is causing these people to feel unwell. They should still stay home, as everybody who has got a respiratory illness should, and look after themselves. But it is true that the testing is being limited to the people who are likely to have been exposed, so that we can use the test kits in a very strategic and thoughtful way, not just willy-nilly for any person who is got a fever who is not truly at risk for this virus.
Unless there's anything else that you wanted to, messages that you wanted to put out there that haven't been touched so far, that's enough for me.
The only thing I would add is I think that people should not be scared or panicked. What people should be is smart about this. That means being prepared, having supplies in your house. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. I don't expect that we are going to run into a horrible situation, but we might run into a wave where there's a lot of illness and a lot of people wanting access to health services. So by taking these personal precautionary measures, not only is one protecting oneself, but also keeping the risk in the population low as well. We want to blunt that curve so that we don't have a whole rush of people sick all at one time early on. The other thing I like to say is that people need to remember that most people, 80% or more, have got an unpleasant winter's infection and not a life-threatening infection. But with age and medical conditions, chronic medical conditions, the risk goes up, and so therefore we need to be particularly careful about those folks. If we're sick, don't expose them, because they're the ones who might end up in hospital or with complications. And so generally, don't expose people if you're ill, but particularly not these highest risk group for complications.